Safety Net Studio presents. Talking movies with Brian Lataki.
And here we go.
Here's Brian Lataki.
You can do it!
Hello, friends, and welcome to Talking Movies. I'm Brian Lataki, and today we try to survive a night with a monster's daughter in Abigail.
What do we know about vampires? How do we kill it?
Crucifixes.
Stake through the heart. Daylight is a big one. We need to find a way out of here. We split up. This is just a game to her.
What can I say? I like playing with my family.
After a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they're locked inside with no normal little girl. Written by the team of Stephen Shields and Guy Busick, and directed by Matt Bettinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillette, Abigail stars Melissa Barrera as Joey, Dan Stevens as Frank, Alicia Weir as Abigail, William Catlett as Rickles, Catherine Newton as Sammy, Kevin Durand as Peter, Angus Cloud as Dean, Giancarlo Esposito as Lambert, and Matthew Good as Father. When I finally sat down to watch the first trailer for Abigail, I was pretty cautious. You see, while I love horror films, modern horror seems obsessed with trying to raise the stakes in each consecutive project. Whether it's through soundtrack scares, jump scares, or graphic gore, every movie comes across with great moments, but rarely a great complete film, and not to mention this being a Universal Pictures film, also came the concern that this movie could be shoved into the Universal Monsterverse that has tried and failed so many times. Story-wise, this movie is very well done. I do have the complaint, though, that the marketing gave away more than I wish that it did, was showing Abigail in her true monster form, that she's actually the mastermind of the entire kidnapping and the fight for survival. But that said, I can understand why it was done, as viewers may have been a little bit more upset if the movie was actually set up as a kidnapping slash fight for survival film along the lines of Assault on Precinct 13, only for it to transform into a vampire flick. But that said, the movie was not all that predictable and featured a ton of incredible action sequences, a ton of blood, and one of the best dance sequences that I've ever seen on film. Now, there are some slow parts throughout the hour and 49 minute runtime, followed by some quick moments that I wish got their time in the sun or darkness, but that's probably my only complaint. Acting wise, while the cast is quite small, they absolutely knock it out of the park. Seeing as this was Angus Cloud's final role before his untimely passing, let's take a quick chat about him. Angus does a decent job, but out of the heavy hitting cast, he comes across as a little over the top in his deliveries. Melissa Barrera is an absolute beast in this film, picking up right where she did in the genre after her wonderful outings in the Scream movies, and Catherine Newton, well, I seem to have very mixed feelings on her and her acting performances, but she adds a wonderful bit of comedy relief. I'm a huge Kevin Durand fan, and then there's the wonderful Giancarlo Esposito, whom I've decided can do absolutely zero wrong, and the brief appearance of Matthew Good, who I truly hope becomes the monster versus Count Dracula. Overall, Abigail is a very, very fun movie. One of the things I appreciate the most about it is that it is a loose remake of 1936's Dracula's Daughter, but at no point is that mentioned or teased throughout the entire film. There are some scary parts, but this movie is more of an action film than it is a horror. The only reason I still consider it in the horror category, and likely so do all of the theaters and whatnot, is that the vampires and the excessive blood and gore, which is done tastefully, pun intended, would shift it into that realm. If this movie does indeed join the Invisible Man in the new Monsterverse, then it is absolutely worth it. This may actually be one of my favorite vampire movies, alongside guilty pleasures like John Carpenter's Vampires and 30 Days of Night, up to complete bangers like What We Do in the Shadows, Let the Right One In, and Nosferatu. I give Abigail an A. Well, the weather's feeling great, and so should you. Nick and the team at Swish Barbershop at 844 St. Mary's Road are ready to line you up and make you look your best. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can visit my barber by booking today at boybarbernick.com.
I've just been handed an urgent news story. Cannonball!
Let's get into movie news you can use, and let's start it off with a couple of trailers that were released. Starting off with Transformers 1.
You have proven yourself worthy. Take these and access your full potential.
Yeah.
time to show them we are more than meets the eye.
We can transform now!
On three, one...
Transformers 1 tells the long-awaited origin story of how the most iconic characters in the Transformers universe, Orion Pax and D-16, went from brothers-in-arms to sworn enemies, Optimus Prime, and Megatron. Transformers 1 stars Chris Hemsworth as Orion Pax, Brian Tyree Henry as D-16, and also features Scarlett Johansson, Keegan-Michael Key, Jon Hamm, and Lawrence Fishburne. The animated film hits theaters on September 20th. The next trailer worth taking a look at is M. Night Shyamalan's next film, titled Trap.
What's with all the police trucks outside? The cameras everywhere, Jamie. I'm not supposed to tell. Something happening? Don't rat me out. I won't. You know the butcher? The freaking nut job that goes around just chopping people up? Well, the feds or whatever heard that he's gonna be here today, so they set up a trap for him. This whole concert? It's a trap. They're watching all the exits, checking everyone that leaves. There's no way to get out of here.
A man and his teenage daughter realize they're at the center of a dark and sinister event while watching a concert. Trap stars Josh Hartnett, M. Night Shyamalan's daughter Salika Shyamalan, and will hit theaters on June 7th of 2024. Over in casting news, it was announced that Pruitt Taylor Vince, best known for his roles in Identity, Constantine, and Mississippi Burning, and Neva Howell, known for her roles in Burden, Run the Race, and The Resident, have joined the cast of James Gunn's upcoming Superman film as Ma and Pa Kent. Superman stars David Corn Sweat as Clark Kent, Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane, and will feature Nathan Fillion, Isabella Merced, Edie Gathie, Anthony Carrigan, and so many more. Superman, which will kick off the new DC universe, releases in theaters on July 11th of 2025. In other upcoming projects, it was announced that Ryan Gosling has stepped on board for Project Hail Mary, coming from Phil Lord and Chris Miller, which was adapted from Andy Weir's novel by Drew Goddard. Gosling will be playing Ryland Grace, a schoolteacher turned astronaut who wakes up from a coma alone on a space station with no memory of who he is or his mission. His memory returns in bursts, and he pieces together that he was sent to the Tau Ceti solar system 12 light years from Earth to reverse the impact of a space event that had already hurled our planet into the early stages of an ice age. As details of the mission unravel, he must call on all of his scientific training and sheer ingenuity, but he might not have to do it alone. Project Hail Mary is set for launch on March 20th of 2026. In other upcoming projects, during a recent interview with the New York Times, director Denis Villeneuve has confirmed that he is actively writing Dune Messiah. He said, quote, that anger felt by Zendaya's character at the end of Part 2 is tremendous. I don't want to reveal what I'm going to do with the third movie. I know exactly what to do. I'm writing it right now, but there's a lot of firepower there, and I'm very excited about that decision. The film will be based on the second novel in the Dune series called Dune Messiah, which continues the story of Paul Atreides, better known and feared as the man christened Maldib. As Emperor of the Known Universe, he possesses more power than a single man was ever meant to wield. Worshipped as a religious icon by the fanatical Fremens, Paul faces the enmity of the political houses he displaced when he assumed the throne and a conspiracy conducted within his own sphere of influence. And even as House Atreides begins to crumble around him from the machinations of his enemies, the true threat to Paul comes to his lover, Chani, and the unborn heir to his family's dynasty. In other film-related news, Guy Ritchie's The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is nowhere to find in cinemas in the UK and Canadian theaters due to international distribution rights being owned by Prime Video. Guy Ritchie's The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is based upon recently declassified files of the British War Department and inspired by true events. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is an action comedy that tells the story of the first ever special forces organization formed during World War II by UK Prime Minister Winston Churchill and a small group of military officials, including author Ian Fleming. The top secret combat unit, composed of a motley crew of rogues and mavericks, goes on a daring mission against the Nazis, using and laid the foundation for the British SAS and modern Black Ops warfare. Their audacious approach changed the course of the war. The film stars Henry Cavill, Alex Pettifer, Isa Gonzalez, Alan Ritchson, and Carrie Elwes. The film is not yet available available on the streaming services, but likely the announcement will be coming soon. Over in the rumor mill, Martin Scorsese has confirmed that he is in talks to create a biopic about old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra.
Fly me to the moon.
And he's hoping to have Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence join him in the cast as Frank Sinatra and Ava Gardner. The biggest roadblock appears to be Tina Sinatra, the entertainer's daughter, who controls her father's estate. Tina Sinatra is currently withholding her blessing in order to make the film, but the actors on Scorsese's wish list appear to be on board. Meanwhile, according to Deadline, director Quentin Tarantino has scrapped all plans for his 10th and final film called The Movie Critic and has plans to start again from scratch. Deadline said that Tarantino just simply changed his mind. While not much was known about the project, all we knew is that it was going to be set in California in 1977 and would be based on a guy who really lived but was never really famous, and he used to write movie reviews for a porno rag. The film was also rumored to star Brad Pitt, with other rumors saying that he was reprising his role from Once Upon a Time, that of stuntman Cliff Booth. Moving to the small screen, Netflix has released a trailer for their upcoming film starring Glenn Powell called Hitman.
By the way, my name is Gary Johnson, and I'm a fake hitman. I realize not everyone fantasized about the same hitman. Every sting operation was a performance.
This is serious.
I am in service business.
And each arrest was like a standing ovation.
Okay, Daniel Day.
A mild-mannered psychology professor interested in electronics takes a sideline bugging undercover cops in sting operations, specializing in setting up phony hits. When the usual undercover guy is suspended, he's enlisted to pose as a hitman. He turns out to be a natural at undercover work, with the police using him to entrap people taking out contracts. Things get complicated when he falls for an abused wife wanting to take out her husband. The film also stars Austin Emilio, Retta, Sanjay Rao, Molly Bernard, Adria Arjona, and Evan Holtzman. Hitman premieres on Netflix on June 7th. If you are a fan of Netflix, your What to Watch is about to get really, really busy because according to The Hollywood Reporter, a number of popular Netflix shows that would have seen a more dispersed schedule are bunched together for late 2024. These include the new season of Squid Game, the second season of The Night Agent, as well as the final season of the Karate Kid sequel series Cobra Kai. Other projects like the new season of Outer Banks, Emily in Paris, and Ryan Murphy's Monsters Anthology will also be releasing during this time frame. In what I can only call mixed emotions, it's my time to tell you that Greg Daniels and Michael Koman may be returning to the Office universe alongside Domhnall Gleeson and Sabrina Impacciatore. The project will once again have an ensemble cast and will be a spin-off of the American Office series. Greg Daniels has been adamant that he wants fans to know that this is not a reboot, even though it takes place in the same arena as the Steve Carell-led mockumentary series focusing on the Dunder Mifflin Paper Company. Daniel says that the new show could feature a camera crew doing a documentary about a subject outside the day-to-day lives of office workers, surviving the daily grind, and their unhinged boss. Deadline is reporting that the project, which hasn't been officially announced, is very close to entering production. Meanwhile, over at Comedy Central, a new animated series based on the classic video game Golden Axe is set to hit production with a pretty massive cast. Golden Axe is set to star Matthew Reese, Danny Putty, Lisa Gilroy, Liam McIntyre, and Carl Tart. It will be a 10-episode adaptation filled with minotaurs, chicken legs, and long moans. The following description came from an official press release. In a hilarious and loving homage to Sega's 1989 video game series, Golden Axe follows veteran warriors Axe Battler, Tyrus Flair, and Jillius Thunderhead as they once again battle to save Uria from the evil giant Death Adder, who won't seem to stay dead. Fortunately, this time, they have the inexperienced and underprepared Hampton Squibb on their side. While the world has been distracted with Fede Alvarez's upcoming Alien Romulus film, a lot of people seem to forget that FX on Hulu is actively working on an Alien TV series. Deadline has confirmed that filming for the project has resumed in Thailand, and that Sandra Yee Sensenbrenner of Foundation has joined the cast, playing a senior member of the Weyland-Yutani Corporation. The project is actually set on Earth a couple decades before the events of of the first Alien film. FX chairman John Landgraf has confirmed that the show takes place right near the end of this century, which places it just a few years before Prometheus in the Alien timeline. According to showrunner Noah Hawley, the series is set on Earth because the Alien stories are always trapped in a prison, trapped in a spaceship. I thought it would be interesting to open it up a little bit so that the stakes of what happens if you can't contain it are more immediate. The series stars Sidney Chandler, Essie Davis, Alex Lothar, Samuel Blanken, and Adarsh Gurav. The series is believed to have an 8-episode first season and is aiming for a 2025 premiere. Over at Prime, this should come as no surprise, but the highly successful Fallout series has officially been renewed for season 2. Executive producers Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy released a joint statement saying, quote, "Praise be to our insanely brilliant showrunners, Geneva Robertson-Dowrett and Graham Wagner, to our kick-ass cast, to Todd and James and all the legends at Bethesda, and to Jen Vernon and the amazing team at Amazon for their incredible support for this show. We can't wait to blow up the world all over again." Based on the popular video game series from Bethesda, Fallout is set 200 years after a nuclear apocalypse, where the denizens of a luxury Fallout shelter are forced to return to the surface and find an irradiated hellscape. Season 1 stars Ella Purnell as Lucy, an optimistic vault dweller, Aaron Moten as Maximus, a young soldier looking to advance in the Brotherhood of Steel, and Walton Goggins as Cooper Howard, a legendary ghoul who still retains some of the person that he used to be. And finally, I want to end today on an interesting interview. While speaking on SiriusXM's Jim and Sam show, Giancarlo Esposito revealed that the year before his breakout role on Breaking Bad, that he was in such dire financial straits that he was desperate looking for a way out. Esposito said, quote, "My way out in my brain was, hey, do you get life insurance if someone commits suicide? Do they get the bread? My wife had no idea why I was asking this stuff. I started scheming. If I got somebody to knock me off, death by misadventure, my kids would get the insurance. I had 4 kids. I wanted them to have a life. It was a hard moment in time. I literally thought of self-annihilation so they could survive. That's how low I was." After his role of Gus Fring on Breaking Bad, as well as reprising the character in Better Call Saul, Esposito went on to have major roles in The Mandalorian, The Boys, and a ton of other projects. If you're looking to book a get-together, why not add a bit of fear? At Killer Noob Escapes at 740 B Century Street, we offer the city's only 2-hour escape experience, starting with Part 1, The Funhouse, followed by Part 2, The Upstairs. We also feature a 2-person room called Buried Alive. Hold your gathering in our private dining room for free if you book Part 1 and Part 2, all while being surrounded by the screams of Puddles' victims. Book today at KillerNoobEscapes.com. That's it for this episode of Talking Movies. Follow me on social media at Talking Movies PC and download full-length episodes on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And while I really don't like using trailer quotes for this, I couldn't help it. As always, what can I say? I like playing with my food.